Hello, and welcome to Teacher Tales, a podcast from the spirit of teaching. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I invite you to join me and my guests as we get curious, explore, discover, and learn more about what is really at the heart of teaching. In each episode, we will hear the story of a teacher, what called them to teach, what are their greatest joys and challenges in teaching, what inspires them, and what are their hopes, dreams, and vision for the education of children. We will learn more about the greatest lessons they have taught and also the greatest lessons they have learned. No checklists, no standards, no reports, no paperwork, and no data. Just stories from their hearts to our hearts on a journey to celebrate what really matters in the true spirit of teaching. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Teacher Tales. I have a very lovely guest here with me today, and she has a great story to tell, and especially for you teachers who are in the classroom or maybe thinking of leaving the classroom, we have a lot to talk about today. So welcome, and would you like to introduce yourself?
Welcome and good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Christine Devane, and I'm a former teacher. I taught at a Catholic school for a year, and then I taught at a public school for 12 years, second and third grade. And since then, I've left teaching. I have three small children, but now I have a book that I've written and published. So now I'm back in the classrooms reading the book with kids.
That's exciting. And so you want to tell us a little bit more about why you became a teacher and how, you know, your experiences as a child and then as a teacher kind of led to this book that you've written?
Hi. So when I was growing up, I loved animals. I actually wanted to become a vet, but I cannot stand the sight of blood. So that was not an option for me. And then growing up, I worked at a lot of after school programs. I babysat. I really loved working with kids because it gave me a lot of creativity. And it was also very rewarding to see how happy the kids were. They always enjoyed working with me and doing all sorts of activities. So it was really when I started working with kids as a teenager that I decided I wanted to become a teacher. And I went to Merrimack College, where I also got my master's degree. And then from there, I started teaching third grade at a Catholic school. And I really loved getting to know all the kids and doing all sorts of activities. And it was a really rewarding job. And it was when I was teaching that I discovered how powerful read alouds are. All the kids really liked getting together and reading a book together. And we had a lot of good conversations and laughs after. And it was at that time that I decided I wanted to write my own book. And I joined a lot of writing groups and classes. And it was just something different for me to get into that also involve children, but wasn't necessarily in the classroom.
But you're going back into the classroom now and doing exactly what hooked you and you saw was a very powerful experience for the kids in the classroom, and that's the read alouds. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do now with the kids and your book and when you're going back into the classroom and working with teachers?
Sure. So the premise of the book is about a girl that goes to the beach and she's very shy. She wants to be by herself. I was very shy growing up. And there's a group of elephants near her and they don't mean to irritate her. They're just doing things like they're dancing and the sand's getting on her towel, or they break her beach chair by accident. And they invite her to play and she doesn't want to play. Eventually, she decides to join them and she has fun. So it shows kids that sometimes when we try new things or we give people a chance, we can have a new kind of different beach day. So she had planned to be by herself, but instead she made these new friends and they did things together. And it also shows kids that not everybody wants to join a group right away. I have three small kids. One is very outgoing, joins everything. One's kind of shy and standoffish. So shows kids that it's okay to not just want to join a group. Sometimes it takes a little while, and it shows kids that maybe it's nice to go over and invite other kids to be part of the group, like the elephants did. And she said no, but she eventually changed her mind when she saw that they were having fun. And basically, the message is just to kind of be kind to each other, and also that not everyone's the same when it comes to social settings. So, since the book's been published, I've gone back into the classrooms for read alouds, and they've been really fun. We've been having beach parties. So I bring beach towels, a beach ball. They all wear sunglasses. We talk about things that we do at the beach. And then they love sharing their favorite animal because my favorite animal is elephants. That's why I wrote about elephants. So that's been funny to hear all their favorite animals. And then they do an activity after where they pretend they're at the beach with an elephant and say what they would do. The most popular answer is eat a big ice cream. But it's been fun. I've been to about 12 classrooms, and then yesterday I did a bookstore event. So it's been really fun to do the read alouds and activities with the kids.
I mean, it's really important for kids to experience things real world. A lot of times, what's in the classroom, they don't connect to, especially the kids after the pandemic. They live in their devices, they were isolated, and to hook them and to connect with them to learning and get them excited about it, especially reading, is, it takes a different approach. It takes engaging them in, hands-on activities and creating a context like what you're doing at the beach and personalizing it and asking them to kind of say, well, what would you say to the elephant and everything. And I do a lot of conferences, a lot of presentations just on that topic. Like I said, I taught world languages, but it's the same thing with reading or any kind of communication. Nobody's going to engage in communication with another person or even talking about a topic if it's not personal and meaningful to them. So I think that sometimes it may be that it's too much work. Some teachers are like, no, it's too much work. Or they may be like, I don't have the resources, or my administrator is not going to approve, or the teacher next door is going to complain. And we just, that's that, we shouldn't let that stop us. We should be creating these sorts of meaningful and powerful experiences for the kids. And so that's wonderful that you come in and engage them in that way, and hopefully are being a bit of a role model to the teachers too of how you can do those sorts of things. I know room transformations became very popular. We used to call them imaginary field trips, where we would set up the classroom like, someplace exotic, in a foreign country that we would go to, and they would experience it firsthand. But anyway, so I think that's really a great message to teachers to make learning come alive like that and make it really meaningful, especially reading. The challenges that you faced, I know there's a lot about teaching phonics now, and the whole thing with Fountainus and Pinnell is like under question, and the science of reading. So how did you navigate that when you were in the classroom, and what did you learn from that, as opposed to what you learned from the read alouds and the impact it had?
So when I was teaching, we went through a few different reading programs, and that's another thing that's difficult for teachers is a lot of schools change programs quite frequently. So it's a lot of training, and then you buy all the materials, you make all the materials for one program, and then basically you're told you're not using the program the next year and you have to get rid of everything. So that's something that's really tough for a lot of teachers and a lot of school districts, I think, change programs, I want to say almost too frequently. But it's tough because teachers want to do the best that they can, but it's also a learning curve for them if they have a new program. But when I was teaching reading and teaching phonics, I tried to do the same thing. I mean, try to make it something that relates to them and something that they will remember. I mean, just even bringing in the beach towels, they love it and they remember, oh, we got to sit on a beach towel. It's not something hard. I mean, it's just you bring in a towel and stuff like that. But to them, it's something different and something meaningful that they got to pretend they were at the beach. And almost all the kids that I've seen have been to the beach, so they like talking about it. Oh, at the beach, I bring this or I like to do this. So it makes them connect to the story. And then I also ask them questions that connect to them where they can share their own thoughts and ideas, especially well, my favorite animal is an elephant. What's your favorite animal? And they all raise their hands. They love to share things that have to do with them. And when I was teaching, I tried to always do that, incorporate their own thoughts and ideas, not just what the text said to ask the kids, because sometimes the texts are very just basic. Okay, we'll read this book and answer this question and read this and answer that. And you have to kind of connect it to them so that they have some meaning towards the story. And then, like you said, it's better for them to learn and remember in those situations.
It is. I'm part of a local book club, and we had our meeting recently, and we had read the book, Remarkably Bright Creatures. And there were some people there that were like, the story's very simple. It's about an octopus, an animal, who kind of has a personality and gets into mischief, but also is helping a woman who's like 70 years old, who's a cleaning lady in the aquarium where this Marcellus, the octopus, is. It's a very endearing story. But there was some, I don't know, evaluation or judgment or whatever about the book being really simple, and that, they like books that were more complicated and had more of a powerful message behind it, and you had to kind of dig for it and figure it out. And there was a young man there who was in his 20s who said, I disagree with that, because the fact that a book is very, simply written and easily digestible is a good thing, because when I was in high school, I was gifted, but I had to analyze and read all of these things that I was being told I had to do that I had no interest in and I made no connection to. He said, I finally got an English teacher that said, what do you like to read? You read what you want to read, what you like to read. If you want to read comic books, read comic books. You just read. Just read and find something that makes, is meaningful to you and you can make a connection to and that you will enjoy. And he said, after that, I became an avid reader, and that's why I'm here. And he was the only male in a group of like 35 women and of all age groups. And I just thought that was such a powerful message. And it addresses what you're talking about. Hook them with what's meaningful to them. And I think so much of education now is prescribed. And like you said, the
Yes.
questions that are being asked are just very typical, scripted, and the kids don't have to think. I know in other languages, they look for the words that are in the text and they'll find those words and just copy that sentence and they have no idea what it said. And that methodology
Exactly.
has got to go away. It's that's not going to hook kids to read. That's not getting them to understand what they're reading. So, but so.
And like you were saying about that man, what I remember when I was in third grade, we got to do a biography and I read about Jane Goodall and I loved reading about her and I loved doing my project on her, but it was because the teacher let us pick something that we wanted to read about. And now schools don't really get to do that. I mean, it's not really the teachers, it's more like you said, everything's prescribed, everything's read this, do that. And I really got into reading and I really loved animals after reading about her and doing my project on her, but it was because it was something that I got to pick. And I don't know that kids necessarily get a lot of choice now, which is sad.
It is. Or if they do, the teacher has to kind of take a risk. Like here in Florida, my daughter's a teacher in elementary school, and she likes to teach history through reading. So when it's different months, like, Black History Month or Women's History Month or whatever, Asian Pacific Islander Month. She chooses books that are about those topics and lets the kids read the biographies about these famous people and then connect it to history. But that's sometimes not allowed, or they're not, those books are not allowed in the classroom or to be used in that way. And that's difficult, and the teacher has to be a little bit of a risk taker to try to approach it in that way. Yours, has a lot to do with what we're trying to implement now in schools, and that social emotional learning. Like, how do we teach these social skills to kids that are have gone through the pandemic, who are just living in their devices, who don't know how to communicate with other people? And I love that yours is about, a little girl who's shy. How many of us can relate to that? My own daughters, I can relate to it in a situation like, how do we interact with these other people? And if we don't feel like jumping in and playing games or jumping in and dancing with everybody else in the group, like icebreakers at teacher conferences and stuff. It's like
Oh,
there are
yeah.
so many teachers that are like, I don't want to do that yet. Are they the same teacher that are
Yes.
asking their kids to do that? Anyways, being aware of that, and then not judging that other person for maybe not wanting to join in, or maybe that's not my cup of tea, or maybe I don't like elephants, maybe they scare me, and we as teachers have to be very sensitive to that. And so that whole social emotional learning, I think your book is great for that. And then when you bring it to life by going in the classroom, it makes it all okay for all the kids, even the ones that might be afraid of elephants. So that's just great. So do you have ideas for other books in the future, or?
So I actually have another book that's coming out by the end of the year. It's on a much different topic. It's on the topic of grief, because when I was teaching, that's something that I really didn't find a lot of books on. So it's about a little girl whose grandfather passes away. And then because the elephant books have been so successful and the kids have liked them so much, I'm going to try to do more elephant books and make it a series. So the grief book will be out by the end of the year, and then hopefully there will be more elephant books.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so excited for that to happen. And the about grief, kids, especially little kids, don't know how, there are a lot of adults that don't know how to process their emotions. And again, my daughter had a emotional, a mental health check-in chart for her students who were ESOL students. And because it was important for her to know where they were, and they didn't always have the words to express it. So she had a chart with their names, and they could put little emojis up there of how they were feeling, and if they were sad, or if they were happy, or if they were afraid, or that sort of thing. And she was told she had to take it down. But my point in saying this is to connect to what you said about grief. When my husband's mother died, so it's my daughter's grandmother, passed away, she was sad. And so she has her name up there, and she put a little emoji that she was sad. And it prompted the kids to ask her, why are you sad? And they had a conversation about grief and loss of a grandparent. And all, so that's a critical thing that kids, they need to have that opportunity to talk about those sort of things and process them. And too many people nowadays, when they're uncomfortable with an emotion, they turn it into a joke, or they get, outwardly aggressive about it. So kudos that you're doing one about grief, because that's a hard emotion for kids. That's a hard emotion for humans to process, little kids or adults.
Yeah, the book shows the little girl with her grandfather and they do everything together and he passes away. And then the little girl remembers him and does things with the doll that he gave her. And it shows how she does things kind of in his memory. And she remembers him in a happy way and she has the doll. And I actually have a doll from my grandfather, and it was called Grandpa Dolly. So that's what the book's called. My grandfather didn't pass away when I was little, but we were very close. And so the book kind of shows the relationship between them, and it shows how she remembers him, and his memory lives on through the doll. So yeah, it's just something that when I was teaching, there were kids that either grandparents or pets or parents passed away, and it is a tough topic, and there's not too many books on it because sometimes kids don't want to talk about it, but if you read a book about it, they can identify with it without necessarily wanting to share. Because one thing I try not to pick on kids. I never liked being picked on when I was in school. I would dread it. So even now when I go in for the read alouds, I let them raise their hand if they want to share. Not every kid wants to share, so I don't want to put them on the spot. And so I found with the book, sometimes they would just want to hear the story. They don't necessarily want to discuss things, but just seeing and hearing the story about something that related to what they were going through helped them.
It makes them feel seen and heard without
Yeah.
putting the spotlight on them. And that's really important for all of us human beings, validation and being seen and heard. So what advice would you have for new teachers coming into the classroom to try to have that same sort of impact? And also, I mean, teachers are leaving the profession now because it is too hard, and some of them are like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what career path to take, but I feel that they can still give back to the profession in, ways like writing books or contributing pedagogical lessons that are sound and healthy for learning. Or like me, I mean, I'm pretty old and I'm still going out there and, helping teachers and sharing with teachers and giving back in service to the profession. So, what advice would you have for teachers, new teachers coming in, and then teachers that are struggling?
I would say for teachers coming in or teachers that are struggling, just to think about the impact you make on your students. I know there's a lot of stress on test scores, and that was a heavy focus where I worked. And it can be very draining for teachers because it puts more of a focus on a number rather than a child. So just to think about the student that's sitting in the seat and the impact that you're going to have on the student, and trying to think about the best practices for them. And I know it's tough because sometimes everything's very scripted, but just to try to do your best, and also not to be, I know a lot of teachers that are hard on themselves because they do have to follow these scripted things and they feel like they're not helping the kids. But I know that teachers are doing the best that they can, and they're working as hard as they can. And I mean, I appreciate all of the teachers out there, and I know they're working hard, and I know it's a tough job, but it does change a child's life. I mean, I've bumped into some kids that were in my class that are in their 20s now, and they say, oh, I remember having you as a teacher. So it's that impact that you have on the kids, and just trying to do the best for them. And I know it's tough with, like I said, all the test scores and everything, but just trying to focus on the kids. And then for people that are trying to find a different career path, there's all sorts of online resources and groups. When I wanted to get into being an author, I found all these workshops. I joined an author's group. I went to conferences, just to really, if you want to do something else, put yourself out there. And I mean, there's resources for everything. And if you want to find a different career path, just, I guess, try to find something that you enjoy doing, and really just, I guess, take a step outside of your comfort zone if that's what you really want to do.
I've heard some teachers say that they're leaving the classroom not only because of test scores and the pressure from that, but also that the creativity's been taken away from them, that they can't be creative. But I think much of our conversation that we've had has been about that being creative and bringing, these real world experiences that are personalized for the kids into the classroom and still cover the standards, still cover the content, and still get the kids prepared for those standardized tests. And I think too much, like again, using this cliche now of scripted lesson plans and teachers being afraid to, color outside of the lines, that it's gotten to be a little bit of a trope, and it's not really true. It's just what is going around and being said. But I don't think there's complete truth to all of it, that teachers are doing creative things like you did, and you're still doing going into the classroom. And like I said, my daughter, who has been doing those sort of things as a world language teacher, I mean, I did all, and I have even conferences now, I'll bring things up and say, you could do this and you could study their culture. Sometimes there are pictures, like with speaking of animals, like in Ecuador, they eat guinea pigs. It's a delicacy there. And how do you approach that with kids? How do you make it where it's not offensive? How do you make it where you can still engage the kids in meaningful conversation? And there are ways that you can do it. Maybe they have a different cultural practice of, marriage rituals or that sort of thing. And it's just about acceptance, a little, like your book, like, you can be shy, you can observe and stand off to the side, or you can jump in and participate, and you can do the same thing other people are doing, especially if it's fun. So I think that teachers thinking that they can't leave the classroom, or that they have to leave the classroom because they can't be creative, is just not exactly the truth and everything. So anything
Well,
else?
I definitely think it's not as creative as it was when I started. You could be much more creative, but there's ways to sneak it in there.
There are ways to sneak it in there. And so I thank you very much for being on Teacher Tales, and I wish you luck with your new book coming out later this year and on your Elephant series. And everyone can check out how to get your book and contact you if they would like you to come to their classroom. I don't know, where are you located? So that
I'm up near Boston.
you're
So
in
if anybody
Boston.
in that area would like me to come to their classroom to do a beach themed read aloud or story time, I would love to. I have a website, Christine/Devane, and people can contact me on there. And I thank you for having me on. I thought that this was a very nice conversation.
I do too. And that's why I told you, it's always very, teachers are great to talk to. Teachers have so much to share, and it's always very wise and very kind. And teachers have big hearts, and they're always giving out to the world, especially to their children. I do in air quotes, because that's what we call our students, is our children. And that's the purpose of Teacher Tales, is to get it out there and to get people to understand. And if they are a teacher and they're listening, they get inspired by your story and other people's stories. So that's giving back again, not just to kids, but to teachers. So I thank you.
Hello again, everyone. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I'd like to invite you to nominate a teacher to be a guest on the podcast and to share their story. All you have to do is go to www.spiritofteaching.org and fill out the nomination form. Again, that's www.spiritofteaching.org. Also, please share, rate, and give some feedback to help us better serve you in the spirit of teaching. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to having you back next time on Teacher Tales.